Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout comes from Washington, and we don't often focus on votes in House committees as big economic stories, but some critics have said that the banking industry actually helped to deregulate, to write the legislation that deregulated the industry back in the 80s and 90s. But a vote yesterday in the House Financial Services Committee suggests that the cloud of the banking industry may be at an end. Louise Story from our partner in the New York Times joins us.
Morning.
What happened yesterday, Louise?
You know, I got to tell you, I was pretty surprised. The House Financial Services Committee, 38-29, passed this amendment that would allow a council of regulators to take apart companies that are too big, that are healthy. So everyone's been talking about giving the government some sort of power to take apart companies that get in trouble. But what this says is, if we think you're too big and we think that you could get in trouble later on, years down the road, we'll take you apart now. And the reason this surprised me is it's really an affront to everything we've seen happen in the last 2 years. Because if you think about what regulators did, they encouraged companies to get bigger. They encouraged J.P. Morgan to buy Bear Stearns and to buy Washington Mutual. And they encouraged Wells Fargo to buy Wachovia. And they encouraged Bank of America to buy Merrill. So they have been creating these bigger companies. And if this passes, it's a major backtracking.
So it's a complete reversal.
Yes.
And it also represents a huge sort of escalation of the power of the federal government to basically come into a successful business venture and say, sorry, we're gonna reduce
it
down.
Yes, they
here.
Said that they might not approve mergers because of it. They might force sales of units of companies. It would be a major change in the way government works. It still has to pass in the House and the Senate, so it has a long road.
And there could be constitutional questions here, depending if it is actually
there could
passed.
Be.
How much was on the line for the bank lobby on this? How much did they try
huge.
To get this happen?
And that's another reason I was so surprised, because people in the banking community were laughing about this when it first came up a couple weeks ago. And I was talking to someone at a large industry group last week, and they said, well, we're writing letters, but, you know, it's not likely to pass. You had groups like the Partnership for New York City, which is co-chaired by Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs,
right.
writing letters about this. And they usually have a lot of clout, but this really
right.
says to me they're losing clout in Washington.
Again, it's just a committee vote, but a very interesting bellwether of what's going on in Washington. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
Our next takeout is an installment in our multimedia series called The Value. It's hosted by our friend and correspondent, Farai Chidea. The Value focuses on how people's priorities change during economic hard times. And for the latest installment, Farai spoke with a theater actor, Tanya Selvaratnam. Tanya doesn't make a lot of money. She earns about $50,000 a year in her job. She works as an actor and as a producer. But instead of taking another part-time job, maybe to add to her earnings, she took on something that doesn't make her any money. In fact, it costs her money. She started a book drive for Sri Lankan children. And when Farai caught up with Tanya last week, Tanya was swimming in a mountain of books surrounding her in her small Manhattan apartment.
Well, this is just the beginning, actually. I'm getting a little bit nervous about how many more might come.
Tell me how this came about, this project of trying to get books and who they're for.
Well, for the last few months, I've been trying to figure out how I can help back home. I was born in Sri Lanka. I am very much American as well. And it's been frustrating for me to be over here and to see how much suffering has been going on. You know, I'm not a humanitarian, I'm not an expert, I'm not somebody who's going to go out in the field, but I thought, what can I send? And so I asked around and I did some research, and books seem to be in need, because there are a lot of orphans, there are a lot of displaced children who are not in their homes.
It took Tanya about 4 months to figure out just how to go about shipping the books overseas to Sri Lanka. And 2 weeks ago, she put out a call to people she knows to donate the books. Tanya doesn't really live a luxurious lifestyle. She does not have a lot of resources to spare. But she says she was compelled to do something for her homeland.
I'm very much, first and foremost, a full-time artist and producer. I would never pretend to be a humanitarian or a do-gooder, but I think I have certain skills as an organizer, so that's what I try to put to use. Because I think that, you know, when we have so much privilege and so much freedom, we have to do something. I mean, I think if there's any reason to continue the human race, it's like to continue bringing in people who will do something good. These kids have been through so much trauma, and so many of them are alone, that books are company. you know.
For Right Today, I was speaking to Tanya Selvaratnam, who's putting her efforts into a book drive for Sri Lankan children. That's from our ongoing series called The Value with For Right Today. You can hear more of that interview, and you can also watch a video of Tanya and Farai at thetakeaway.org.
Last takeout comes from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. And the NBA is about 10 or so games in. Where do we stand at this point, East versus West, old players versus young bucks?
Well, right now, the Lakers, obviously, they're 8-3. They're the team to watch because they're the world champions. But I would also point your attention to the Phoenix Suns. They're playing great basketball right now. They're typically a team that starts off fast and finishes slow. So
right, that's
something to keep in mind.
Heartbreakers, we call them.
Indeed, heartbreakers. So there's also the Portland Trailblazers. They're the youngest team that's really exciting. And that's a team that
exciting
if you want
to watch
good, yeah, they're great basketball to watch.
How about the East? The Knicks, of course, and the Nets are, forget
about
them.
Well, the Nets are still 0-12. Now they're 0-12. The Knicks won last night, but they might pick up this guy Allen Iverson, who some of you may know is a former MVP of the National Basketball Association, and he was let go by the Memphis Grizzlies, and so they might pick him up in that little sort of we need anybody that can help sweepstakes.
And again, a lot of people say that the NBA season really starts in the playoffs. So it's such early going in the NBA. Major League Baseball handed out its Manager of the Year awards. Anything significant there?
Yeah, I think Jim Tracy, who took over for the Rockies after in the midseason, led them on a tear through the end of the season. They were riding this crest of this wave into the playoffs,
right.
And they played amazing baseball up until they ran into the Philadelphia Phillies. But Jim Tracy definitely deserves that. Mike Socha won it in the AL because he rallied the team around the death of Nick Eadenhart.
And Girardi came in third of the Yankees, but great stuff. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.